Well, good morning. It's time for us to gather together again to worship the Lord. Listen to how Paul opens his letter to the Ephesian church, starting in verse 3 of chapter 1 and reading through verse 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the ones he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached the fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. God has done an incredible work to make us a way to be part of the kingdom of God. We have the opportunity to be part of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. It's through him that we have forgiveness of sins, that we have redemption, that we have the ability to be seen as righteous saints in God's presence because we willingly have accepted the very work of Jesus Christ. It's incredible what Paul says here, and especially the praise that gets me so many times as I read this passage is that God has lavished God's grace upon us, poured it down upon us over and again to overflowing, that we might be filled with the very grace of God. Let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and gracious Lord, what an incredible work you have done. You not only are the God who created us, but you also are the God who recognized there was a broken relationship and you did something about it. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ and for his willingness to die for us, that we might have salvation, eternal life, redemption, be able to wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because we are your daughters and sons. So we come to you this morning acknowledging that we are sinners, and we realize that your word says if we confess our sins and repent of them, moving away from them in that way of life and moving towards you, that you will cleanse us and make us whole. So, Lord, we thank you for that cleansing. We thank you for that forgiveness. We thank you for the very work of Jesus Christ. We thank you also for those who through the centuries have continued to share the story of Jesus Christ, that we might truly be your people, that we might have an opportunity to hear your word. And Lord, we realize there are many in our midst who have yet to hear your word, and there are some who have heard but have yet to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. So Lord, we pray that you would guide us to be your people in a way that we would Share always your love and your peace and your comfort, your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy with those around us, that we might see them make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and come into a deep and meaningful and wonderful relationship with you. We thank you for allowing us to live in this country, a country where we can follow your leading and worship you and live for you in the way that you have called us. We thank you for those who prepared not only this country, but we thank you for those who prepared our churches, that we might have places of worship, that we might have places of community and fellowship. Lord, we come to you once again with request upon our hearts, and we lift up to you this pandemic that is over the whole world. And we ask that you would eradicate it, that it would be gone, and that we could move about and do the things that we've always done. But most especially that we could sit and talk with folks and help them to draw closer to you. So we pray that you would end this pandemic and that you would end it soon. Whether it be just in a moment's notice or by the vaccine, however it might be, we pray for the end of this. We also pray that you would guide your churches to know how to live in the midst of what's going on, that we might be people that continue to reach out and draw folks ever closer to you. We know many that have lost loved ones, and we pray for them and ask that you would touch them in a very special way, that you would bring them peace and comfort during this time, and that as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that they would know your presence and know that you're right there with your love. We also pray for those who are physically sick in any way, and we ask, Lord, that you would place your healing hand upon them. We also ask that you would be there for first responders, for those that are on the front line of any kind of disease or illness. We also pray for caretakers who oftentimes don't pay attention to themselves in order to take care of family members. So we pray that you would give them the ability to take care of family members and also take care of themselves so that they can continue to be there for their family members. We also pray for those who economically are having problems during this time. And we pray for anybody with any kind of brokenness in their lives. May they see your presence and come and sit before you and allow you to touch them and heal them where they need to be healed. And Lord, we open our hearts to you that we might hear your voice in a deeper way, that we might recognize that you are calling us to a deeper path, and that we might follow you as the disciples follow Jesus. Lord, guide us into that way, and guide us now with the very words that Jesus taught his disciples as an example prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It is a beautiful and wonderful day. It's always a great day to listen to God's Word. So listen as I read to you today from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. It says that this is a psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth, from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge its people. Gather to me this consecrated people, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. What a wonderful psalm as this begins, as I've read the first six verses of Psalm 50. It speaks about how powerful God is and how wonderful he is and where he inhabits the earth and how he comes to call his people together. As I read it just now, one of the phrases that stuck out to me was, it says, our God comes and will not be silent. I'm so thankful that God is not silent in our lives, but that God is right there to walk with us and to guide us and to speak to us and to nudge us and to encourage us to continue forward. God is not a God that is far off. And a matter of fact, what happened was that in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered in, it ruined humanity's relationship with God. It created a division and a divide. And that relationship was broken at that point. And throughout all of history, God continued to try to reestablish that relationship and to deepen it with the people. And again, they walked away from it. They walked away into darkness and into troubles, and when they found themselves there, they were willing to turn around and come back to God and cry out to God. You see, the relationship that humanity had with the Creator of all was broken by sin. Sin is nothing more than just missing the mark. Sin is not walking in the ways that God asks us to walk or to have a relationship with God. And God decided that relationship was broken and that God was going to fix it. Because you see, humanity could not fix that relationship. Humans have tried throughout all the ages to try to fix that relationship by doing a great number of things, by sacrificing up all that they have, by trying to design ways to live the right way. Now, did you hear what I said? And instead of following what God asked them to follow, they turn and they try to design a way. They try to do enough good works to say that God must now accept me. They try to live in the right way and they try to save themselves. But the truth is that humanity has no way to save themselves. Because all that we have amounts to nothing. And even in the midst of that, there will still be sin, and that sin, as Scripture says in more than one place, creates a divide between us and God. And since there is that divide, there's no relationship, there's no ways to continue to grow in God's ways. So God decided to make a covenant And that first covenant that God made was established with Abraham. He made that covenant in all seriousness in such a way that he asked Abraham to lay out divided animals from large to small and to walk in the midst of them, creating a covenant between God and Abraham. And the symbolism and the understanding there is, if I do not keep my part of the covenant, may it happen to me as it did to these animals that were split in half and set apart. May my life be the same if I don't keep my covenant. Well, humanity continued to fail in that covenant. And God came back time and time again to make a covenant anew, to start one in a deeper way. And then in the midst of the prophets, God talks about saying that I will establish a new covenant, a covenant written upon the people's hearts. That covenant was established through Jesus Christ, who was our atoning sacrifice, that we might truly have a relationship with God. You see, what was happening was that humanity was trying again and again to deepen their relationship with God, but because of sin, they were separated from God. And God decided to send Jesus Christ. And Jesus came willingly to establish a new covenant, a covenant through his death. His death that paid the price for our sins. And if we're willing to accept what Jesus Christ did for us, then we can be in relationship with God again. You see, God was so disturbed by what happened that God made a way. What we fail to realize sometimes is that a covenant is not a one-way event, but it's a two-way commitment between both parties. Go back to Abraham's covenant with God, and Abraham walked between the divided animals, making a commitment saying, if I don't keep my part of this covenant, may I be divided as these animals are divided. May I lose my life for not keeping my covenant. And I think that some in the midst of our world have lost the understanding of this covenant. They've lost the understanding of the covenant, and what they see is that God provided a way for them and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they don't keep their end of the covenant. You see, covenant is not a one-way event that God is making promises to us, saying, here's all the things that I will do for you, and we on our end say thank you, thank you. And there's no action. There's no commitment. There's no sacrifice. That's not covenant. Covenant is a two-way commitment of both parties. God says, I make a new covenant with you through Jesus Christ. And in that covenant, God says, here is the commitments that I make to you. I will bring you salvation. I will bring you eternal life. I will show you true love and peace and comfort. I will not remember your sins anymore. They will be covered over by the sacrifice of Christ, and I will not see them. What we need to do is make the same kind of commitments to God, that we are willing to sacrifice our lives, to give them to the kingdom of God, to allow God to use our lives. Paul speaks in Romans chapter 12 that the only thing that we really have to give as a proper sacrifice as a proper commitment to God is our lives. Listen to what God says in Psalm 50, which I read earlier, verse 5. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Have you made that kind of covenant with God and sacrificed your life? You see, if we're willing to accept the covenant that God makes with us, to have our relationship with God restored, to have eternal life, to have a way to know God's love, then we must sacrifice also. Listen again to verse 5. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You see, once we've accepted this covenant, once we've accepted the salvation that God has offered to us, the eternal life that God has offered to us, we should seek to develop a firm and a deep commitment to living this covenant with God. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way covenant. God has God's part to keep, and God's asking us to make a commitment. God's asking us to make a sacrifice, that the kingdom of God might grow as we share about Jesus Christ and live the ways that the Holy Spirit is nudging us to live. It's not about just accepting Jesus Christ and the work that Christ did for us. It's about walking with God day in and day out, making a sacrifice of our lives so that we too can influence others to come to God. You see, there are so many in our world that want a relationship with God just for the benefits that God's willing to give. And they're going to stack up those benefits and hoard up those benefits, but not do anything in return. It's not the good works that saves us. It's not the commitments that we make to be part of God's covenant. Only God can save us. But part of it is out of gratitude for what God has done and the covenant that God is willing to establish with us. We, in turn, should be willing to sacrifice also. We should give our full lives that more might come to know about Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you to think about this week from this scripture. Once again, I want to read it to you. It says, gather to me this consecrated people, God says, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. With that in mind, here's the question I want you to think about this week and to spend some time meditating on and asking yourself, is this the way I live? Have you only accepted Christ for what benefits you get? Or are you living your part of the covenant with God? Think about that this week. Have you only accepted a relationship with God because of what benefits you get from God? Or are you willing to live a sacrificial life as your part of the covenant with God? It's a question that all of us must ask ourselves. And it's a question that we must spend time thinking about, because if we're not living a sacrificial life and living our part of the covenant with God, Scripture tells us that God doesn't keep God's end of the covenant either. We can see that throughout history as the people walked away from God, God didn't keep God's part of the covenant. God walked away from them also. So you need to ask yourself, am I only living, or have I only accepted Jesus Christ and what he's done for me for the benefits that God's willing to give me? Or am I living my part of the covenant, living into the calling that God's asking me to be part of this kingdom in a sacrificial, dynamic way? It's time for us to live that kind of covenant in a sacrificial, dynamic way, giving our lives back to God and making firm commitments to walk with Jesus Christ as a disciple. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and great God, you have been so willing to forgive us, to provide a sacrifice for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. You've been so willing to give us and place upon us the very righteousness that he lived in the midst of this world. Lord, help us to understand that this is a covenant. It is a free gift, but you ask for commitments from us to live a calling that you place upon our lives, to share Jesus Christ with people that we meet, to help our brothers and sisters in the faith grow ever closer to you. It's a covenant where there's commitments on both sides. Help us to live that covenant by giving our lives as a sacrifice for your kingdom and as a sacrifice for people who need to come to you. Lord, show us where we can do that this week to bring glory and honor to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the God who is so willing to lavish upon you grace and love and peace and comfort touch your heart in such a way that you may see the love of Jesus Christ in a new and deeper way, and that as the Holy Spirit nudges you this week, that you will live your part of the covenant to bring about God's kingdom.